registry of Shelby County and Alton transact the business presumptive journal. All persons having business with this court drawn near to the petition shall be heard. Be seated, please.
We're all in on the statute this morning, is it right, man? All right, so Mr. Foreman, I believe about a month ago, I asked you to give us a report on your progress in the matter back in time.
Yes, Your Honor. May it please the court, I came into this case on the 10th of November that afternoon. I had no intention or plans or expectation of being in it. I was committed to many courts. However, it came to me as my duty, because I both to my profession and to my man that quite places life in my hands, because I was the last chance as I saw it, to accept the case. I have spent the most of the time, more than three-fourths of the time, since I was committed to this court on the 12th of November, to arrange my docket so that I would have time for this case. Other courts, in all of the courts in Texas, both federal and state, have seen and deferred to my responsibilities in this case. However, the first 2 weeks of the effort from the 12th of November, or maybe a little, a few days longer than that, were dedicated to attempting to get the results of the investigation of the counsel in the case ahead of myself. I eventually received a transmittal of what purported to be that investigation, accompanied with a letter stating that, of course, most of the investigation is in the mind of the lawyer, and they, regardless of what may have been stated or may have been printed about the case being ready for trial, Your Honor, in my experience and judgment, the case was not and is not, and will be a miracle if it is ready for trial on March 3rd. I was furnished a list of some 360 witnesses by the prosecution. I was told that 90 to 95 would probably be all that would be used, but I was not given the names of those 90 to 95, so that I am relegated to attempting to contact, and I have made arrangements to that end, to the best of my ability, Your Honor. It pleases the court, there is no money, whatever, available in this case for either investigative expense or attorney's fees as of now. There have been numerous offers by publications, magazines, and writers to underwrite the fees of this defendant, but most of them have a hook in it. And I'm not willing at this late period of my life to prosecute the principles of, that I hold dear at the defense of a criminal case to a pandering press. And it may be that there will be an arrangement under which fees can be available, but they did not induce me to come into this case, and they will not keep me in the case. I intend to stay in this case as long as Your Honor will permit me so to do, and without compensation. If compensation should be become available, it will do so without my committing any of what I consider a lawyer's responsibilities or a client's rights. Now, I have also prepared and spent whatever is necessary with reference to my personal expenses. But such efforts as I have made to ascertain the investigative results of people who have gone before makes me think, Your Honor, regardless of what I may say to your court, they ought to make your honor make believe that people who believe there's unlimited funds and that the James Earl Ray case is second only to cotton as an industry for returns in the city of Memphis. And, for instance, one investigator asked over $9,000 for work that the previous attorney tells me he has been fully paid for. I do not say one way or the other, which is correct, but I want to mention that to show you all. Now, Your Honor, in an effort to do the best that I could with what I had to do, I have accepted the offer of law students, senior law students at a very reputable university, working under the supervision of a member of the faculty. They have agreed, to the best of their ability, to serve without pay in interviews. I am prepared and paying at my expense an interrogatory to be mailed to each. They should be in the mail within perhaps an hour and second before the week's over. Every witness was returned. I was asking whatever questions they are willing to answer so that I may decide whether or not to further interview that witness or to take a chance on not interviewing her. I realize that the district attorney was doing what the attorney general was doing in an abundance of precaution, furnishing us a great number of witnesses because cross-examination might change their strategy. I'm not suggesting that this great number of witnesses be furnished me for the purpose of confusing rather than aiding. But it does add to the amount of work. I work alone. I have no investigators. I never use an investigator more than once, and it's usually a college senior. To the best of my ability, I shall continue and except for one or two civil matters, I am free until this case is over. Or I have talked with several people who have been on this case, writing books and preparing magazine articles since long before the arrest of the defendant and now before the court. But most of them have their own predetermined idea of whatever the facts are and are concerned about as being justified in that predetermined concept. And while some of them have been most helpful, none of them have substituted for what an effective investigation could do in the preparation of the case for trial. As Your Honor knows well, if the case is not prepared in advance, it's useless for a defense or a prosecution to be presented in court. Cases are won or lost at this stage, not after the jury is in panel. And I would respectfully say to the court that, as I conceive the preparation of this case, and my responsibilities as an attorney in this case, it would be impossible for this case to be ready for trial on March 3rd. I'm prepared to keep this court, as I have undertaken to do, advised of progress from time to time without even either directly or in open court. And I have no apologies to make for my own efforts or the time, because I've put every minute into the case, both day and night. And a great deal of money. Money is no problem to me as an individual, but I don't feel that it is my responsibility. I think it's the responsibility of the state of Tennessee to this client be indigent, and I'll keep this court advised if any contracts of any kind are signed or agreeable. And if any work was made available to the defense or to me as defense counsel, whatever rights a defendant has at the bar in the state of Tennessee, an indigent defendant, I would consider it the only honest thing to do to repay to the state of Tennessee
meeting with the instructions of the court on June the 21st of this year to be ready for trial on November the 12th. We were ready at that time, if the court pleases. And as the general stated to the court, our law, as I understand our law to be, and I don't believe that it's been changed as of this day, and a capital offense 3 days is sufficient to make preparations for trial on the defense part. That's the law, if the court pleases, as I understand it. Then if the court sees fit, in its discretion not to enforce the statute at the 3 days notice, then it calls into play its discretion, as the court has done in this matter. This man has been in custody since June the 8th. The court on November the 12th informed Mr. Foreman, His Honor, in order to give Mr. Foreman his defense time to get ready, set the trial date as March the 3rd of 1969. We suggested, if the court pleases, and we felt at that time and still do, that the court could have set this case for January, sometime in the month of January of 1969. That would have given the defense almost 2 months in which to get ready. We don't believe any appellate court anywhere would